B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan. I think Lanville's doing a bit where he's playing Rob Zombie because it's Halloween. I have no idea if that's accurate, but it seems to be like a Halloween theme. I'm going to try to crack that code. Brian, how confident are you in the Commanders going up to the Meadowlands on Sunday?
I'm actually confident in the team.
Hang on.
I'm confident in the team at this point now. But, you know, you always have that little thing in the back of your head because this is one team that always seems to give us fits. And I'm in a mindset that I think we're getting over that hump this year. We've been exercising a few demons.
Sure.
And I think this is another one that can be exercised this year.
I definitely tend to agree with you. I coined the phrase, no fade in Jaden. I just think he has created something different entirely here. And it's not just him, right? Like, there's a million factors, but he would be the lead singer of the band, that everything is different.
Uh-huh.
And I think going up there will allow them to really show that they're a different team, right? And I think if you look back on week two, I think Washington's significantly better than they were week two, and I'm not so sure the Giants are.
They aren't.
Losing Tyrone Tracy, I think, is a big loss for them. I guess it's not official that he's out, but I think
the running back?
Yeah.
Well, that would be a big plus for us.
He had the concussion Monday night.
Yeah, but and he ran for 140-something?
He runs hard.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, a guy like that in concussion protocol, Monday night game, short turnaround. My only caution is, this time last week, everybody with a pulse was saying Baltimore was the best team in football despite having two losses. Then they played Cleveland in a division game and lost. Division games are different beasts entirely.
They are totally.
I want to let the folks weigh in. 800-636-1067. Let's start with our guy, Jupe, on line four.
What up, Jupe?
Fellas, what's good, yo? Hey, listen,
you good, man?
I'm good. As long as we got Timothy Daniels back there, I'm confident we can win against anybody. And we keep talking about trades and so on and so forth, but the reason why I keep saying I'd rather just stay put and wait till the off season and then see what we can do, one, because let's save our draft picks, front office shown that they hit on everything they pick up. And then two, I want them to go through – I don't want everything to be easy for him. I want him to go through some adversity so that way he can learn to overcome it. And, you know, and year one is the year to do it. So, but I think with Dan Quinn, with him and D. Daniels back there, we're in good hands. So, overall, we're good to go. We're going to take care of this. I'm a little bit nervous about the Steelers game. But after that, the Eagles game, it's kind of up in the air, but – so far, Timothy Daniels is undefeated in primetime. But that's all I got for you, fellas.
All right, thank you, buddy. This game is not in primetime, Juke, but I don't want to necessarily point that out.
Anytime you play the Giants, it's primetime.
Jaden does feel like a game changer for all of these conversations.
Yeah. He doesn't get bothered by much. You know, you watch him. I kept running that little 13 seconds back in my head. The dude never seemed flustered the whole time. Then you watch him before he got rid of the ball, he double hitched to make sure he got himself in the right position and let that thing go.
Totally.
That ball from where it left his hands to where it tipped the guys was like at the 2-yard line. That goes into the end zone anyway. You know, so it just, you see people like, I remember it was, who was it? Baker Mayfield, like last year trying to throw a Hail Mary. And he basically threw the ball on the ground because he was trying so hard that he just threw it down in the ground instead of getting it up in the air how it was supposed to be. So, you know, right.
Let's keep these phone lines going. Some folks are feeling confident. Blake is very confident, I understand. Blake, how you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Look, you got to be confident going into a game versus the Giants. I know JP, I know Mitch is going to be a very skeptical on the pod this week. I know he's scared of Daniel Jones. But I got two reasons. This Johnny Newton and Phil Mathis. They really look like they want to play. That defensive line, despite John Allen being hurt, has really impressed me. And the defense as a whole, yes, you could talk about Jaden Daniels, but I think that defense and that defensive front with Phil Mathis and Johnny Newton have been really making a difference in these last two games, and I'm feeling really confident, JP. Happy Halloween, guys.
Thanks, brother. It's a good call.
I'm happy you said that because we've been talking about Newton. Mathis has played.
Yep.
That this staff comes in, what we saw in the first 2 years is not what we're seeing now.
Dude, and the linebackers are playing so well largely as a result of him.
Yeah.
How about Tischler just getting name dropped there, just getting randomly trolled? That was something.
Hey, man, he deserves it.
Let's go to Nikki G. Nikki G, how you feeling about Sunday's game against the G-Men?
Well, you know, watching these boys always make me nervous. This is a trap game because every time we play the Giants, Daniel Jones seems to be a superstar. I just feel that if we give the ball to B-Rob, power left, power right, power left, power right, I think everything will be just fine. But then again, we got to stay to the script. So any given Sunday, anything can happen. But I have faith in my boys, but they just need to come through. That's all I want. Victory on Sunday.
All right, man.
Let's go watch this man.
Thanks, buddy. Any given Sunday. Not inaccurate. Yep. Breaking news on the fan. Tell me your level of excitement for this, Brian. Jaden Daniels was voted as the Pepsi Rookie of the Week for Week 8. It's his sixth Rookie of the Week award this year.
Just give him the award.
Yeah, dude.
6 out of 8 weeks.
I'm so happy that that just happened. First off, I was talking to Toby about it 2 minutes ago, and Chicago Bears fans have been such whiners about Caleb Williams not winning that award. For Jaden Daniels to win it in a performance against the Bears just makes me so happy. I hate the Bears and I hate their fans.
When
I love Jaden.
When did they think he was supposed to win it?
Version of landfill.
I was a couple weeks ago. It was the first time that Caleb Williams looked like he might be semi-competent as an NFL quarterback. The morons in that useless town decided that he should just win every award that exists. Screw him.
I think it was.
You know,
Caleb
said that landfill?
Yeah.
Damn.
Caleb was good in London. I think he had 4 touchdowns. And that might have been when Jaden was okay against Cleveland. I don't remember what the game was, but Caleb did have the better game. Like, listen, man, if you're.
I think it might have been the week when they lost to Baltimore, where he still had outstanding numbers.
What is the age cutoff where, as a fan of a team, you should care about Rookie of the Week awards? I'd say.
I don't think you could put a cutoff
10
on it.
Years old?
Nah, man.
12 years old?
Nah, Jay. Fans.
If you're over 10 years old, you got to not worry. You should not
fans
impact
are fanatical. Your fans care about every damn thing. You even care about everything. If anything pops up sometime and it's not getting. This play is not getting their love, you don't like it.
Landville,
I can understand what they're feeling, but you know what? They have nothing to base it off of. They're idiotic.
If you're mad this week that Jaden won it, tell Caleb Williams to throw a Hail Mary.
Yeah, well, I saw something this morning. I hope it was just somebody making a little – trying to mess with him, where he said, I gave us a lead. I can't play defense at the same time. That had to be – he couldn't have really said that in the press conference, did he?
Who said – it was Brady, wasn't it?
Caleb.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah,
I remember it was, Giselle
I
said,
hope the
you
hell,
can't catch the ball, too.
I hope the hell he didn't say that. That's all I'm saying.
Let's go to Cairo in Ashburn. Cairo, how confident are you with the Skins going up to the Meadowlands?
I mean, I think normally in the past, like, you know, 2 or 3 years, I would have been like everyone else who's just like, I don't know, Giants, Daniel Jones, they have our number. But, like, after what happened this past weekend, I think, you know, with Jaden Daniels back there, anything is possible. I think, you know, we have a chance to really dominate them, and I think we should. But, I mean, it is a division game. Those things are kind of weird. Weird things happen. So, I mean, I'm pretty confident regardless of that. I think we should go up there and dominate and show that we're really the team in the NFC. But we'll see. I mean, you never know, right?
We shall see. That's what makes it fun. Thanks for the call.
Gotta play the game.
Jaime is in Manassas. My gut tells me Jaime is confident.
Jaime is very confident.
What up, Jaime?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I think the team's playing better. I think Jaden Daniels is playing better since we played them the last time. that it was a kicker's fest, as we remember. The kicker that made all the field goals and the other one that got injured. So, but I think we're playing better. The defense is playing better. B-Rob is back healthy. He has a hamstring problem now, but I think he's going to be fine on Sunday. And I think we should win by at least 7 points. I think we should handle this. It's about time to start dominating bad teams. If we're good, we should be taking care of bad teams like we're doing, like we did with the Cleveland Browns. And I think we're going to at least win by 7 points on Sunday.
All right, man. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you, Jaime. They have beaten bad teams down.
They have.
And these guys might qualify.
That's when you begin to do that to bad teams. That's when you arrive. Everyone just think, oh, if you happen to upset this good team, oh, we're good. No. When you take care of business with the bad teams, you know, when you go into a game and you're actually battling that team and you beat the hell out of them, that's when you know you've arrived.
Apparently that Caleb Williams thing was fake.
Okay, that's what I said. I wish it was.
Let's check with Pete in Landover. Pete, how you feeling about the game this weekend, man?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call, man. I tell you, Jaden's just like a bottle of wine. He's just getting better every week. He's learning more. Chicago brought the heat. They did a good job of handling it. And at the same time, I think shout out to the linebacking core and that front four on defense. They are just, I mean, they just did a good job on Chicago last week. I would say if I had a worry, I would say probably getting in the end zone more when we get down the red zone. A little concerned about the illegal man downfield a couple times. Seems like little things like that can really come back and bite you in the butt too. But
that's just something, a point of contention the league is trying to do. And they're calling people for that a lot.
And it does get a little tricky with the RPO close stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
when linemen don't know where he's going.
The week, that's Pepsi Employee Week. I work for Pepsi. I'm glad to hear that. I'm just so excited for the team this year, guys.
Thanks, brother.
All right, man. Appreciate it.
Let's check in with Marty up in Jersey. Martin.
Marty, what's up?
He's got to go.
My bad. Wait. Oh, sorry. Hey, guys.
Yeah.
You're off to a hell of a start, Martin.
My bad, because I had my AirPods
That's
in.
Fine.
I know you guys don't like that
just
stuff.
Just hit it. How confident
good,
are you?
Go ahead, brother.
I'm mostly confident, a little nervous about like the little letdown that they may have. You know, thinking that it's the Giants, but you know, I think it's going to be a lot better because it's a divisional game, so I think it's going to be really good. I'm also the guy that has the company I sent you guys, those JD5 hats. So Mitch wore it. I was so proud
awesome.
That you had it on.
Appreciate that, man.
Jaden.
Yeah, I got to find mine.
The
it's
game
in
MetLife,
the studio
so
somewhere, right?
The dub. What?
All right, man. You can send us some more if you want.
Yeah, thanks for the hats, dude. Appreciate you.
I'll be at the game, so I'm going to try to bring home the dub.
All right, babe. Appreciate
Very
it.
Very cool.
Gotcha.
Let's try. Our guy Kevin is in Fairfax. Kev, how confident are you?
I'm so confident. I'm already on to the Steeler game, and I think that's the game that everybody that showed up on Groundhog Day is going to get a free ticket to, right?
I think you're right. No. What? 2-2-22? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, the Groundhog Day event in Bethesda, they came out and said, yeah, everybody's going to get a preseason. Well, that never happened. So is the default game against the Steeler game?
I don't have a clue of what you're talking about.
I do remember at the preseason game they said at the – It was the 106.7 versus 980 event at the Draft House,
okay.
Right, at the Jazz Club,
yeah.
Whatever it's called.
Correct, correct.
The Commanders said everybody here gets a free ticket to a preseason game.
Yeah.
I don't think, sir, that means you get a free ticket to the Steelers game.
To the Steelers game. They said preseason. They didn't say regular season.
Oh, man.
But good luck with that.
You made it sound how you wanted it to sound, right?
You know who you should call is Wendy. Now, I don't know her number or anything, but Wendy's in charge of all things tickets. She comes on with us every Tuesday. She knows a ton about sports. So I think you should call Wendy. Good luck.
Wendy is sitting there right now saying, JP is an ass.
let's get Mama Stu real quick.
Mama Stu.
Yo. Oh, hell no. What's going on, fellas?
What's happening?
We're good. How are you?
I am blissful, and I'm fairly confident in our coaching staff to have these guys ready to go up there and do what they do. Division games are always, you know, they, you know, our division play hard against each other, so I'm not going to say it's a gimme, but I'm confident that this coaching staff, this all-star coaching staff, will have these guys ready. And even in the red zone, we saw what happened with them with the Giants the first time, and then they got their stuff in order, got it corrected. We saw what happened in Arizona. So I'm confident in the coaching staff to have these guys ready. Whether we win or not, listen, I'm confident in them, and my confidence in them says, hey, we're going to go up there and do what it do.
All right.
Appreciate you, Mama.
Appreciate it.
All right. No, don't take any more calls, boys. I'm going to knock out the ones we got. Doug is in Brandywine. Doug, how you feeling about Sunday's game?
What's up, fellas, man? What's going on, B. Mitchell, Finley?
Good, brother.
We're good, bud.
Man, I'm confident about the game. I think we're going to go up there and dog them boys. It's a different team since game two, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I think the play calling gotten better. I think he was kind of, you know, taking it slow with Dayton at first. But my whole thing is this, like, as far as, like, our red zone woes and when the offense blow up, why doesn't he stay in the two-back set with that pro set formation? Like, all three of our running backs can catch. Every time he go to it, we get positive yards, 5, 12, and then he go away from it. It's like, I don't understand. Like, we use that two-back set, our offense become unstoppable because the defenses don't know if Jay going to keep it. He's going to pass it. The running back's checking block. So if he put that in the game plan, like, we're a dog to Giants, man. I think we're going to get into business. I just want our fan base to stop being pessimists. The days of old is gone, man. We need to get that attitude like we're going to dog whoever we play. Let's go, DC.
All right, brother.
Strong call. Appreciate you, man.
Like it.
Here's what we're going to do. Everybody on the phones, check in with Toby. We'll get you back for Bleep You. You'll be at the top of the list. We got to bust out, talk a little bit of Wizards basketball. Let's take a whiz. Nobody go anywhere. We interrupt your regularly scheduled 4 hours of straight football talk because the Wizards have won two in a row, and they've done it in impressive fashion, and Bilal Coulibaly looks like a serious player. And to help us figure it out, we welcome in our friend Mr. Chase Hughes, Monumental Sports Network. Chase, what up, dude?
Not much, man. That song takes me back to covering the Nats. Reminds me of Jason Works.
There you go. I like it. Tell the truth. There's no way you expected them to be 2-2 through four games.
No, he expected them to be 4-0.
I did not expect them to be 2-2 through four games. Obviously, their two wins have come against the same team, the Atlanta Hawks. But the Hawks were in the play-in tournament last year. You know, they're not bad. I thought they had a really good offseason. And what's funny about that 2-2 record is the two teams they've lost to are arguably the two best teams in the league, the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Boston Celtics. Obviously, Boston won the title last year, and they're 4-1. And Cleveland is undefeated. It's 5-0. So it's not just 2-2. It's who they've played.
Yeah. Well, JP has been raving about Bilal Coulibaly. What are your thoughts on his plays thus far?
Oh, I mean, he has been so impressive. We knew he was athletic. We knew he could defend. But what he's done offensively this year has been, I think, a bigger leap than anyone expected to this point. He grew an inch over the past year, and he's 10 pounds.
Damn, he's still
bigger.
Growing.
He got
How
stronger.
Old is he?
Yeah. And he's still only 20, and he's still growing. But what's been a huge effect from that is he's just so aggressive and confident when he's on the court. He's playing like he knows he's one of the biggest, most athletic players on the floor. And he worked a lot on his ball handling this offseason. You know, he broke his wrist down the stretch of last year, so he had to basically only do things with his left hand for a few months. And he got to work and improved his left hand. And you're seeing it in the numbers. He's getting into the paint like three times as often as he did last year. He's shooting really well from three. Last night he had 27 points. That was a career high, which surpassed a career high that he set two games before that. So he is becoming a much better offensive player than anyone expected, especially with the ball in his hands, because we saw him knock down shots from the perimeter on catch and shoots last year. But now he's been a primary ball handler and looking like he fits that part.
Bilal has been seems like he's way ahead of schedule, even for the people that are most excited about him. Does that seem fair?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think there's a lot of people around the league that feel that way. I've talked to people from other teams who, you know, were picking and like beyond the lottery last year. And they said that, you know, as of like a month before the draft, they had their eyes on Bilal Coulibaly. Like they thought he was going to be there. And then, you know, he started being in the mix for a top 10 pick and the Wizards ended up having to trade up to seventh to sort of ward off other teams to get him in that draft.
I'm going to show B. I retweeted you last night this clip. Watch this. This is Bilal on defense. The clip you posted late second quarter where Bilal makes the steal on the pick and roll, pushes. Watch this follow, B. So he's throwing it to Alex Saar, who you'd like to see finish. Ooh! dude. I hope you enjoyed the grunting there, Chase.
Interesting. I'm on both sides of the thing right here.
What is Saar giving them right now?
A lot of really good defense. He's blocking a ton of shots. He's had multiple blocks in each of his first four games. That's a franchise record to begin a career. And I believe it's the longest streak any player's had since Joel Embiid back in 2016 to start an NBA career. You know, he's showing up really well in terms of contested shots. And the thing, I think if I were to point to one stat that's really stood out to me, it's not just the blocks, it's not just the contested shots, but he's up there around top five in the league in contested three-point shots, which is absolutely not normal for a seven-footer. And I think it really illustrates the potential they saw in him to be a versatile player on both ends of the floor, but specifically on defense, someone who can cover a ton of ground and competently switch on to smaller players and hold his own on the perimeter, because that's just not something a lot of big men can do.
Isn't he more of a defensive guy, though?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I think this whole draft class, honestly, was more defensive than on the offensive end. And, you know, taking a lot of flack for the lack of scoring, but for a team like the Wizards that wants to build a defensive foundation, which I think is really smart, because if you look at all the teams that go deep in the playoffs, they play defense. It really worked in their favor. And Bilal Coulibaly was a defensive pick. Now we're seeing the offense come around, but he was a defensive pick. And so was Alex Saar. And GM Will Dawkins has said that himself, that that was a guy that they targeted for their for his defense in particular. And they'll wait and see what he can do offensively over time. So I think they're evaluating him more so on the defensive end than they are with his scoring. But they like his potential there too, because as we've seen, you know, he made a play last night off the dribble where he threw a nice little pocket pass to Bilal Coulibaly. He can handle the ball. He could shoot a little bit from the outside. I don't think the percentages are going to be particularly high over the course of his rookie season, but you're also seeing flashes of his scoring as well.
I don't know who we need to talk to, but on Google box scores, they have Bub Carrington listed as Carlton Carrington. We need to get that fixed. Like, he should only be referred to as Bub and not Carlton.
Well, on his birth certificate, it says Carlton.
Yeah, but you always say don't give out my government, right? They need to chill with this.
You know, I tell you, don't give out my government.
How good has Bub been?
He's been really good. You know, the Wizards PR department had a great stat about him last night. He had a game, I think it was 16.6 rebounds and six assists, and he's the sixth youngest player to have that stat line. And the other guys that were ahead of him were like LeBron and Kevin Durant. Like, I mean, it was like a very exclusive group of players. So he's the youngest player on the team. He was 18 when he was drafted. They love his intensity and his mindset on both ends of the floor. I mean, he talks a lot of trash. He is a very aggressive player. Yeah, he's a very aggressive player getting into the paint. You know, I've been trying to avoid the phrase he's a dog, because that's what people keep saying about him so often it gets cliche. But he is a dog on both ends of the floor. And the Wizards, you know, they could use more of that. They need more players like that who are dogs on defense in particular. And he absolutely brings that.
Chase, he's a Baltimore kid, dude. He's got no choice.
It was in him when he came here. All right, we understand that they're doing a rebuild and all this stuff, but if you wanted to tell people about this team, how would you describe them to get people to say, I need to go check them out?
Well, they're very young, but they're also very big, and they're versatile, and they play hard. And I think, you know, however many games they win this year, that's sort of the characteristics that they expect to have when they get, you know, on the other end of this rebuild, whenever they're ready to compete for the playoffs or hopefully more than that. They want to have one of the biggest, most versatile teams in the league. So I think it's exciting to kind of watch those things sort of start to shine through, because you know they mean something in the big picture. You know, whatever the stat line is for an individual player at the end of the game, you know, you don't want to make too much of that, but the style that they're trying to play, especially the defense that I talked about with Bilal Coulibaly and Alex Saar, like 5 years from now, however long it takes, they want that to be their identity. So I think it's fun to watch. It's always fun, you know, to watch really talented young players sort of find their way in any league. And the Wizards have a bunch of them right now because, you know, they made a few trades to get 3 first-round picks. They had the second pick, Alex Saar, the 14th pick, Bud Carrington, and, of course, also the 24th pick with Keyshawn George. It's not often that you could see that many first-round picks play on the same team as rookies. It ties the franchise record. It's only happened 2 times before for the Wizards. So, you know, they've got a lot of young talent that they're trying to develop right now.
We're talking with our friend Chase Hughes, Monumental Sports. You can follow him on all platforms, at Chase DC Sports. And I feel like you make really good TikTok videos. I've been enjoying them. I know that
the Wiz
are your profession and a passion, but I also know what the Commanders and the Skins mean to you. And you've posted some really good content. Listen, I'm not going to get too excited about the Wiz from a win-loss standpoint. I am allowing myself to get excited about the young team they're building. And if you look at the track record of, I mean, especially Dawkins and OKC, like, there's reasons to like this, right? The Commanders, though, we might have said that, and now we're at the halfway point of the season, and it's like, okay, we're excited about the future, but right now is exciting. How do you feel about the burgundy and gold?
I mean, really excited. I'm still sort of in shock at what happened on Sunday. It was the most surprising win I've ever seen them have, at least based on how the game finished. I was at the You Like That game. I've seen basically every game since the mid-90s, since Brian Mitchell was playing. But, you know, I was kind of trying to rack my memory what it reminded me of, and certainly the Monday Night Miracle. I think the most surprising win for me before this was probably in 06 when they blocked the field goal against the Cowboys and Sean Taylor ran it back and you know, had the face mask penalty to set up a game-winning field goal. But this was absolutely stunning. And my favorite part about it is I was able to watch that game with my family, and I could just tell, like, as it happened, that, like, that was going to be a special memory for me moving forward. And, you know, we haven't had too many games like that, and that's, like, kind of, I think, what makes football so beautiful, especially in this area, is just, like, you know, being able to share it with your family and your friends. And we just haven't had too many moments like that. And you know, on top of that, it felt like one of the first games where, like, okay, this is our team again. You know, when they rebranded, it was kind of like an expansion team, and it took a few years, but I feel like we're getting back to that. And obviously with Jaden Daniels, it's being taken to a completely different level.
Yes, it is.
All right, last one then. We've been asking this on the phones. How confident – you've been watching this team a long time. You know what has happened in the Meadowlands. How confident are you for Sunday game against New York in New Jersey?
I would say confident, but not like I heard a caller earlier say he's already on to the Pittsburgh game. I'm not saying that because
I'm glad he's not a player.
I mean, any division game in the NFC East, you can't overlook anyone. I mean, just think about on our side of things. Like, we would always get one. Like, remember Colt McCoy on Monday Night Football against the Cowboys? Like, anything can happen in the NFC East. So I would say,
bro, last week the Browns beat the Ravens. Division games.
Yeah, I mean, exactly, James Winston. Yeah, so you just never know. You can't take it for granted, but certainly I'm probably more confident than I've ever been going into a matchup against the Giants.
All right, Chase. All right, Chase. Appreciate you. Hey, dude, listen to me on this. Monday night, Wiz Warriors. I would keep an eye around courtside for what could be some very broad-shouldered guests. Call it an educated guess on that one.
Wow, you know, I was just talking about this last night. I wonder when Jaden will show up to a game. I don't know if that's what you're referring to, but when he does, I have to think he'll get a pretty big applause.
It'll be interesting to see. Thanks, buddy.
Okay. All right, thanks, guys.
All right, man.
All right, that's our friend Chase Hughes. Give him a follow at Chase DC Sports. Coming up later in the program, it is a Bleep You Thursday, and I'm going to try to eat 50 Kit Kats. All right, B, something I want to point out, just, you know, I feel like we're all working together to try to make each other smarter, right? Isn't that part of the collective agreement we've struck here on the B. Mitchell Finley program?
Yep.
So somebody tagged me in a post from NFL Rumors, at NFL Rums, NFL RUMS, okay? How great is that? The Commanders just tweeted out a picture of Jaden Daniels dressed up as Batman for Halloween.
Hi, I'm Batman.
He looks like he's 5 years old or something there, don't you think?
Yeah.
All right, but NFL rumors says the Ravens, Chiefs, and Commanders are reportedly in on Rams corner Tre'Davious White. I'm not saying that is or isn't true. Frankly, I don't know. But Tre'Davious White was quite a player at one point. He's had some injuries. I believe he's an LSU guy. But all I would caution is that the Twitter account in question here, maybe not in question, but in reference here, misspelled Chiefs.
Yeah, but Chiefs?
They have C-H-E-I-F-S instead of I-E.
That's the new way.
I before E is a pretty basic rule when it comes to spelling.
Totally.
And I just think if you're going to be taking your NFL rumors from one of these possibly kind of fake body.
Normally that's a sign of something that's fake. When like, you misspell words.
If you misspell Chiefs, the back-to-back Super Bowl champions, I would at least hold my breath before assuming that that rumor is true. That's my piece of advice. Does that seem fair, Brian?
Makes sense.
Okay. Thank you, buddy. Here's what the plan is for us. We're going to take Cliff Kingsbury live at noon, and then you can hear for yourself what the Commanders offense coordinator has to say. Undoubtedly going to talk a little bit about some of these red zone woes and what needs to happen. I do more and more think it's an execution thing and, you know, kind of, once you get through that, if you can just get through a game where you don't have any penalties inside the 10-yard line, I think your red zone efficiency numbers are going to skyrocket.
They'll go way up.
Yeah.
They'll go way up. Like the thing about it, they get there, and they've shot themselves in the foot. They just got to find a way to stop doing that.
Right. I totally agree. Let's do this. ESPN has this list of the mid-season report. What have we learned about these NFL teams? ESPN, and it's weird how all these websites have different calculations. They have a calculation for the Commanders to make the playoffs right now at 84%, chances to win the division at 45%. People still like the Eagles. The Eagles are still the favorite from Vegas standards, too. Can I write this? Yeah. What we know, Washington has found its quarterback. Rookie Jaden Daniels has been everything the Commanders hoped for, a dynamic player who set multiple records for accuracy. He has impressed coaches and teammates with his work ethic and leadership. You agree with that?
I agree totally.
Wholeheartedly. That's an astonishing thing to have complete agreement in, and I think it should give people a ton of reason for excitement. What we don't know yet, how would you answer that?
I would ask what we don't know.
Yeah.
In Jaden's situation?
No, about the team.
About the team. Oh. Just, you know, I think injuries always is a problem. You know, how they overcome.
Yeah, separating that, because you never know where that's coming, right?
Yeah, you don't. But what I don't know about this team is I just don't know how if they could keep it up the whole year. I mean, I believe they can. But you don't know, because like, sure, we've seen seasons that end differently. I just believe they've done so much way quicker than I thought that I'm kind of like, I'm in awe.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think what ESPN writes is that they just don't know about the defense because they've shut down bad ones but struggled against good offenses. If they keep playing bad teams and a lot of these offenses don't look that good that are remaining on the schedule – ultimately, the stats are the stats because you play who you play, and you take it from there.
I mean, you can't – they play on the same team other people play.
How about this, B? Right now, the Commanders are averaging 30.1 points per game.
Okay.
Do you know the last time they averaged more than 30 points a game?
What, in the 90s?
Yep.
91?
Yep.
I'm not going to think about it. La, 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 la. I'm not going there. I'm not going there, Jay.
Dude, in 5 of the past 6 years, they've averaged fewer than 20 points per game.
Oh, we talked about that every year, man. Like, you know, my whole deal was three touchdowns and a field goal.
Right.
24 points give you a chance to win most games. If you look at 24 points output and you take the schedules for the last 25 years, let's see how many times we'll have a better than 500 number.
And then this last thing I think is really, really relevant. The injury to watch at this point. I think a lot of people would say Jaden, but he hasn't missed any time, right? I guess he came out for a play against the Giants weeks ago. But Brian Robinson is a vital part to this offense. Brian Robinson missed a game, has been questionable in two others. B-Rob landed on the injury report yesterday. We've heard about the knee, right?
Yeah.
Yesterday he was on there with a hamstring.
Well,
limited.
When you hear about a knee, you can bet those other things are going to follow.
You know what will follow us? Cliff Kingsbury on the, when we come back.